Human performance is documented as the accomplishment of a task in accordance with an agreed-upon standard of accuracy, completeness, and efficiency. With me today, Dr. Craig Duncan, to talk about what wins a game. And, you know, I want to talk about the human performance side. You in?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Let's chat. Mate, last time you were on, you said that the protein balls were your favorite product. What is it now?
The protein balls, are so, and I've got them right here, the birthday cake flavor.
Still your flavor?
But look, I've always been a big supporter of the green tea.
Yeah, you know, I love the green tea, don't you?
Yeah. Yeah, and I really like the shred. Not for the shred reasons, but I find it as a good fast,
so you love the energy.
Yeah, I like it. It gives me a good pickup and gets my mind centered right. It's nice and smooth.
Nice.
And I really like
it. I better stop there or people think I'm paying for comment. Let's go.
Welcome to the Body Science Podcast, bringing you everything you need, want, and should know about health, fitness, nutrition, and training. As always, the information contained in this podcast is for the information purposes only and is not designed to diagnose or be prescriptive to treat, prevent, or manage any injury, disease, or other health-related condition. Today's podcast is brought to you by BCAA Ultra, our new all-in-one BCAA and DAA Elite Amino Formula. This cutting-edge formula provides you with the building blocks for lean muscle gain and helps you work through even the most brutal training session. Not just a BCAA supplement, BCAA Ultra delivers a full spectrum of essential amino acids in effective doses and is 100% vegan-friendly. With a massive 5 grams of BCAAs and 7 grams of EAAs plus added L-glutamine, BCAA Ultra is your weapon for lean muscle repair and maintenance, helping you recover faster from those punishing workouts.
If you've played elite sport, you've probably chatted with this man. We're at Body Science, the house of fit, happy and healthy. And with me, Dr. Craig Duncan. How are you, mate?
I'm good, Greg. How are you?
Good. I've thrown a big one at you this week. I want to talk about what wins you a game, because I was having a chat with you about another topic and you mentioned that concept to me in passing. And I thought, this is a good one. What wins you a game? And I'm not talking about coaching and that. I want to talk about human performance departments.
It's a really big question and it's hard to generalize and it's across sports. But from my perspective of the work I do, the best thing, or what I need to do and what we're paid to do, is to make sure that the coach has the team in a physiological, psychological condition so it can complete the tactics that they want.
So before we jump into what that means, like having everything where you need it, let's talk about a bit of history about what you've done so that people know that we're talking with someone who's actually qualified to talk about this.
Yeah, I suppose if we take it back, my academic studies are in sports science and with a bachelor's in human movement science, and then did my doctorate in sports science from the University of Sydney. And then I went on and studied some psychology after I finished my doctorate and then worked in the field. So I, even though I have an academic position, I like to still be very applied. And so I've been in the field for about 20 years now. So primarily working in football and soccer. Mm-hmm. And from Sydney FC to Western Sydney Wanderers, Brisbane Roar, and then the Australian national team. I did the last World Cup with them. The Iran national team, we did the Asian Cup with them in 2019. And then I've also been with the New South Wales State of Origin, Canterbury Bulldogs, done some work with St George as well, and then now with Manly.
Manly.
So
they're having a good year too, mate. So hold your head high on that one.
Yeah, we always like it when our teams do well.
So if you were to walk into a group of people that you work with and go, what wins a game? And we're talking the human performance side of things.
Yeah.
What type of face would you have look at you, and what type of expectation would you expect to come out of that conversation?
Well, first, you know, in anything we do, we have to analyze the situation and analyze if we're starting at a new club or, you know, a new organization and with a new team, we've got to look at how previously they went. What are all the things? I mean, if we take it right back to basics, you know, what is involved in the sport that you're working in? You've got to analyze the sport. You know, what are the movement patterns that are involved? What components of fitness are important for that sport? So you do an analysis of the activity, and then you work from the analysis of the activity, then you identify what you need to analyze for that player or that athlete to be successful in that activity, and analyze that, and then determine where the weaknesses are and where we need to work from to get them ready to play.
And are you getting directives from coaching staff in relation to that, or are you giving directives back towards coaching staff? yourself?
Well, look, I'm one that's very collaborative, and I think at the end of the day, the one I have to serve is the coach. Mm-hmm. So it's very important in my work that you actually meet with the coach, interview the coach, and see what they want to achieve and what they need from us. So this is a problem often in human performance or in high performance departments, is that they go off on a tangent and run in their own silo without really servicing who they're meant to, and that's the coach and the players. So I'm very much about, okay, well, what does the coach require? How tactically do they want to play? So it depends in the sport. You know, you might be playing a game tactically that involves certain physiological components. So then we need to work towards that. So it's a fundamental conversation to have with the...
And how much input are you having on a week-to-week basis with coaching staff versus athlete?
It depends where I'm at and in what position, if I'm consulting or if I'm actually working on the ground. But the human performance departments have a strong relationship with the players. They're normally the first, the closest relationship, because we're about maximizing their performance. And definitely the director of the department should have very much, daily conversation, even more, with the coaching staff. So there needs to be a system in place of communication and how that is done. That's very, very important. But yeah, it's an ongoing discussion.
So what have you guys changed at Manly this year? I mean, they're having a great season.
Well, I think the first part, I mean, that has to be credit to the players. And you're working with an outstanding coach there in Des Hasler, who is a joy to work with. And then when Des came in, he implemented the high performance manager, that is Donny Sinch, who, again, I've been fortunate enough to work with at other clubs, and he's outstanding because he has a real mentality to be better, and that's really important. And then along came the head of physio, James Rame, and the head of sports science, Mark Booth. So there were some changes that were made in that. And then there was staff that was already there that have been very positive. So I think coming in that department, often it's not tactical. If I talk human performance tactics, like about what we do, it's about how we do it. And it's about having the strategy and the systems and how we work towards things. So I've seen a lot of places where they don't have a mindset about being better. They have a mindset about focusing on proving that they are right.
Yeah, okay.
So I don't work like that. If an injury happens or something happens, then we will turn over every possible stone. We will take responsibility for that and to ensure it doesn't happen again, if we can. We have to look at ourselves every day and focus on continuous improvement. And that's about leaving the ego at the door, having robust conversations, but we're about being better. I'm there to serve the players and serve the coach and serve the franchise. That's what it's about, not serve Craig Duncan. And I think we need to be aware of that, because too often in my industry, I think, yeah, people just want to be right without really facing the mirror every day about getting it right.
And how do you get to the position where you can, and is the correct word here, the director of human performance? Is that the type of role we're talking about right
yeah,
now?
Yeah, that's what Donny Sinch is at Manly, where I act as a consultant there.
A consultant there. So how do you get to that level of expertise and that understanding of how a human works in your journey? Because you had a very... Your journey was definitely through the university structures.
Yeah, yeah.
And you've obviously done a lot of great PhD work and things like that that have driven you in this area.
Yeah.
What was it that made you go to that part where you can actually sit back and consult back to companies now that have Donny Singes and the directors of human performance? And obviously the coach at Manly is very forward thinking and he's into what's new. Yep. And we all know Des is, he'll listen to anything that's a great idea.
Yes.
So how do you work with these guys, get to that role where you can actually go, Des, that's a stupid idea, or Donny, we need to do this, like to have the ability to do that at that level? And you are talking to guys who are very established. You've got a coach who's extremely established and proven. You've got Donny, who's extremely proven with national teams and premierships and things. Like, how do you get in the middle of that and work with that?
Wow. I think that's basically emotional intelligence and having a real, I don't want to say it, but a growth mindset. I have never been comfortable with what we're doing. And I always want to do better. And I think what happened is, okay, we have the work we do on the ground, the day-to-day work, and we could go around to every club in Australia and they'll be doing very similar things. They'll do monitoring, they plan training, they implement training, but it's about sitting back and looking at it from a perspective of having a systems attitude, put putting systems in place and working on the strategy. So I think as a consultant, you have time to sit back and see things from the big picture and see everyone's point of view. And I don't think there's, you know, you said, oh, how do I tell people if they've got a bad idea? I don't tell it instantly.
There's no bad ideas.
Yeah, absolutely. I've got to sit back and
no value
and take the time to analyze that. And it's just the process I go through. I don't think I'm open and I like to read a lot and from different areas. So just not from sports science. I think if you're listening to this and you're a sports scientist and all you read is about sports science, that's going to be a problem. You know, I get a lot of my ideas and that from other areas and other domains. And I think that's enhanced the situation. But it's about being open and it's about having good communication strategy and good communication structure into what you're doing and have values as an organization. This is what you want to do. And I'm not interested in working with anyone that doesn't want to progress and knows their place in the whole scenario. I know, like at Manly, ultimately Des Hasler is the boss there.
Yeah,
wherever I work, the coach is the boss. We're a small percentage of that puzzle. To give him, I like to see it that the coach, I think of them as like the artist, okay? And the artist to create the picture. We have to give them good brushes and the brushes of the players so he can create that. They're doing the work, the coaches and the players. Ours is just to make sure that they can do what they're required to do.
So could you run a business that consults to several elite teams?
Yes, and I do, yeah.
So you're in football?
Yeah, so our company, it is quite unique. A number of years ago, I could see that our systems and strategy could make a real difference across the board and just the attitude that we have. And so we started our company Performance Intelligence Agency, which and PIA, the focus of that is there's multi-focuses. But the real thing is that we can supply staff, they train under our systems and it's implemented. And yes, we can work across multiple codes and even have a number of teams in the same competition, which is unique. And there are people that struggle with that. However, we see it as, well, you know, if you want to do the best possibly you can be, it's a good way to have because you have everyone on the same page. Yeah.
So in relation to your IP being your systems and strategies, you picked up over all the sports and stuff you
play. Yep.
So just touching on your systems and strategy, you talked about that's your IP you bring to a team and you work with the coach and you work together. Mm. Which sports have played heavily in systems and strategy in the early years to now? I mean, all teams have great systems and strategies now, and obviously for someone like you to come in, you're not talking about last year's strategy or the year before, it's what are the systems and strategies moving forward. Which sports over the last 10 years have given you that driver to actually be able to work in these areas, to bring it to all sports now, to talk to more people about, because you're very into sharing and you talk a lot about what you do. It's not like you've hid your knowledge and it's under your arm and this is mine, go away everyone else. You're very open about what you do. What sports had the funds to do that in the early days with you?
Well, look, I think AFL was a world leader.
Yep, okay.
And they had the funding to do that, and they were the ones that really, I suppose, started the concept of having high performance managers and large departments. And I think there were some real leaders in that field. I think Darren Burgess did a fantastic job in the work he's done. He also works in football, so I know him very well. However, in saying that, I think it's individuals, and I don't know if all the systems and strategies in today's sport are actually as good as they possibly could be in the high performance departments.
That's interesting.
Yeah. I think we're good at the sports science, the technical components, and we can all do things very, very similar. It's how we implement that and how we have that ongoing success about doing that. I think that's the interesting component.
And that is interesting you say that. Like, what metrics are you looking at that makes you different?
Look, I don't think there's actually probably none.
Okay.
Yeah, I think there's no rocket
it's
science.
Not a job interview, thank God.
Yeah, yeah. No, there's no rocket science to what we do.
Yeah.
However, I think we're very good at integrating it, and I think we're very, very good at continuously wanting to improve. And I think that's where our success has been, and also being open and understanding and working with the coach about what they want and the organization what they want. Yes, we have algorithms and different indexes that are unique to, you know, our organization. However, it's not rocket science. However,
you say that a lot. I hear you say that a lot, but there's a few rockets being launched there.
Yeah, but right. I just think it's about how we implement it. Yeah. And I think we've been able to show it across multiple sports at multiple levels across multiple nations. And that's what's exciting to me.
So you mentioned you did some work with Iran in the Asia Cup. That must have been something very different to what you've ever done.
It was fantastic opportunity because I...
And they approached you, didn't they?
Yeah. And the coach of Iran is a man called Carlos Quiroz, was a man called Carlos Quiroz, who's now with the Colombian national team. And Carlos Quiroz is a very well-known Portuguese coach that worked with Manchester United, Real Madrid. He was head coach of Real Madrid, the Portuguese national team. And it was just a joy to work with him.
Okay.
If you talk about an artist and a coach, I have not seen a coach like him. And so it was very, very fortunate to have that opportunity and his staff. And it was wonderful. And with the Iranian players. And it didn't end in the greatest success. We got knocked out in the semifinal and it would have been nice to win, but that was further than that they'd gone in that competition mm-hmm. for over 20 years, and it was a great experience.
So you're with a unique coach, someone who you think is, what do you call him, a magician or an artist,
you know, a very well educated man, is extremely experienced with great humility and drove everyone to be at their best.
And so what did you bring to win games with them? What did you bring to that? You've got a great coach.
Yeah, and a great sports science team, physios, great assistants. I think being able to come in, and they'd been working together for a while, a significant amount of time, just another voice and another set of eyes. And I think if anything, I have a really holistic view of performance. So it's about to sit back to analyze and to offer some insight into different areas. And always when you offer insight, it's their decision whether they go with that or they don't go with that. And that's okay. But I think that's what I had to offer. Did I make a difference? I'm not sure. I think they were very, very good without me. But definitely having that other set of eyes, an outside set of eyes, can enhance the situation.
And mate, with metrics in him performance, what type of things are you looking at for the players and the coach? I assume you talk about your him performance overview, you're looking at the data coming back from the team. You're not actually running the coach's stats. You're not looking at him personally and driving him in the performance area. You're talking about the players.
Yeah, we're talking about the players. I mean, there is some situations where I work closely with the coach just on their performance and just to be there.
Like, who'd want to be a coach these days? Like, seriously, something goes wrong and the coach gets blamed.
Yeah, 100%. And there's a lot of them, just about them managing their health as well.
Yeah.
But overriding, I mean, my view of performance, you've got it from this holistic perspective. Basically, if we look at the equation of performance, what is it? It looks at the capacity, what we have to offer. And then, but on the other side of that equation is, okay, we want to build the capacity. We get players fitter. We get them tactically better, technically better. But on the other side of the equation is what I term the noise, the fatigue, the pressure, the stress, everything that takes away from that. So there's no point if we just work on that capacity side of the equation, which I think is pretty easy. I think we can get players fit if we're also raising their fatigue so that we get them injured. So that is very important that we manage the noise side, and we do that through our monitoring, staying in tune. It's like a process. You know, what's the response to the training? Players train. What's the response to the training? Did it meet our model? So before training takes place, a model is created for that session. Okay, so we know what should happen in that session before they even go on the field or on the court. They train that session. Did it meet the model? Yes, it met the model. Is the response? Now we measure the response of the players the next day, how they, you know, where is their status in respect to their well-being, or what we term the noise, and see if that met exactly where we thought it should be. And if that's okay, then we go again for that planned session. So I'm very agile in how I look at things. If changes need to be made to the training program, they're made that day or the next day, not 3 days later, and then we've succumbed to some form of injury or players aren't performing to their optimum. So it's staying in tune with the data on every day.
And how open-minded is elite sport to words like well-being and noise?
Look, I think everyone does well-being monitoring. I don't really like well-being as a term, even though I just used it. But yeah, people have been doing that. I think, and there wouldn't be probably a team in Australia that doesn't monitor their players in some way, professional team. Mm-hmm. However, I do think a lot tick the box and they're not in tune with it. At the end of the day, you collect data to offer insight. Sports science, sadly, collects a lot of data and offers numbers. It's about turning that numbers into insight so the coach can make informed decisions. That's my job. So we could, from a training session, it could be thousands of points of data from, you know, from GPS and that, but it's about stripping that, all those numbers down to, it might be three lines. Are we on track or not on track? Yeah. Yeah. Because that's what a coach wants to know. Are we on track or not on track? That's my job. That's our job as a high performance department. That's it. You know, that's our job, to give him what he needs so his tactics can come alive.
Interesting. Mate, it's obviously everybody who starts off at uni doing sports science or even like people who've gone through the Cert 4s and fitness, diploma fitness, and worked their way up through the bodies to do S&C stuff, want to work in this capacity. Like, what type of pathway would you give to a young person coming up with the theory if you look back and said, I want you to think about where you're going now and what wins you a game? So what are the things from a young student side coming through?
Well, I'll take that a step back first. I'm always about, okay, first plan for what your perfect day is. And sometimes they mightn't match up. Everyone likes the idea of working in professional sport. However, they don't know really what that entails.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think that's what I say to students first off. Okay, how do you want to live your life? Now, if you want to live your life being at home on weekends and having time with your family and not working on Christmas Day or working whenever you want and not having to travel and working 9 to 5, but you're still telling me you want to work in professional sport, those two are not going to really meet.
Okay, yep.
And so long term, that's going to be a problem. Also, if you want to earn enormous amounts of money and that's your primary motive, and I hope it's not, then maybe professional sport is a long burn, isn't it? It's a slow one, that it takes time to build that up. And there's a lot of times that you've got to do a lot of work in internships, unpaid roles, so you further your career that way. So I think once we get that out of the way, you're definitely having the science background is important. So you do understand what you're dealing with. However, having good internships, good mentorships are really key, but it has to be good. You have to make sure that you're choosing the right place. Don't go to the local professional team just because you think, oh, that's cool and I want the tracksuit. I'm very happy for you to write to me now. I've got a lot of tracksuits.
That's gold.
So that's not what we want to do.
Yeah.
Okay. You want to learn from people that are going to teach you the right way. And then you want to develop your own philosophy.
And that's probably the part I want to touch on with what wins you a game, like that.
Yeah.
That, because, I mean, you still lecture. You've actually developed some courses.
Yeah. The ACU, we have the Masters in High Performance Sport that I was involved in, and a graduate diploma in performance analysis. And they've been successful courses. And I still, I do teach a third year.
Because you get 28 hours in a day, don't you? So what I'm trying to say here, how much of those courses is related to this noise and the well-being word you don't like and all that?
Yeah.
Are we putting a lot of time into these experts coming through that run this? I mean, obviously that's your specialty. That's what you stand out on. But are we training the next generation to come through about this to be more people-minded?
Look, I definitely think ACU has done a good job in trying to direct things that way. However, you will always need to be out in the industry learning, and you will learn more. Mm. And it depends what your niche is. Most people go through sports science courses, and I know I was one. You want to make people run faster, lift more weights, and be better at sport. And they want to do that on-field component. That's the excitement, the in the gym area. And then so we've got those people. And then we've got ones that they find, okay, I want to do the sports science, like the GPS, the analysis process. And so you've got to find your niche inside where you think your strengths are. And it gets back to what I say, what does your day look like? And then work from there. So that's important. I think a combined study with good mentorship in the field is the best way to go. Don't think you're going to be really that successful just going to university and working in and not working in the industry. I think that's the most important thing you can do as early as possible. And I'm always open to internships. I'm always advertising them.
When do you advertise an internship for someone who's interested?
Well, you can contact me directly, but we have Brisbane Roar as a client of ours. And so we've advertised for internships there. Manly is always looking for interns. Any of our clients will always be looking for them, and they're good internships. So there is some, you know, there is some pushback against unpaid internships, and I agree with that if it's just unpaid labor where you're not learning.
Absolutely, yeah.
But if it's a win-win situation and in a positive environment where you are going to learn, I can't recommend that higher.
So how do people contact you?
Just contact me directly through social media at Dr. Craig Duncan or my email.
That's one word, at Dr. Craig Duncan, DR.
Yeah, DR. Yep.
At DRCRAIG.
DUNCAN.
Yep. Internships are available, people. Get on board. Hey, get ready for some DMs.
Yeah.
You probably got to follow him first if you really want to get one. Yeah. Just throw it out there. He's trying to build his profile up a bit. I'm only joking when I say that.
Yeah.
But I love your Instagram, actually. It's, yeah, I love the information you put across. Look, closing, let's shut this down. What wins you a game? You've talked about understanding people, understanding the coach, mm-hmm. understanding the systems and the process.
You've got to put it, you know what wins yep. you a game? Having it all integrated, having a holistic view of it,
yep.
even from the point of view, having good supplement supplier, you know, having
great
the,
answer.
Yeah.
Great answer.
Well,
but Nathan having, will like that
but
answer.
Having the nutrition right,
yep.
you know, having the sports medicine right,
yep.
having the coaching right. It has to be integrated and has to work together as a team to get the best out of your players.
And that's what wins games.
And always, there's too much in sport. There's too much ego in sport, and that's okay. We all come to that.
Yep.
That's probably why we're involved. It's leaving the ego at the door to get the best outcome possible with the players that you have. That's what you've got to do. Work together, integrate all the data, offer insight from the data, and really, that's what I think is the most important thing.
I love it. Well, you've had it from the expert himself. And if you're looking for an intern, drop him a DM.
Yes.
Dr. Craig Duncan, thanks for coming on, mate. Really appreciate it.
Thanks, Greg.
Today's podcast was brought to you by our partners in Fit, Happy and Healthy, ASN, Nutrition Warehouse, DY Discount Vitamins, Fat Burners Only, Evelyn Fay, Mr. Supplement, or find a retailer online at bodyscience.com.au/retailers.